Hey, Dolphins, we're all excited for this Miami Dolphins season. And for the second year in a row, season tickets are sold out. But good news, a limited amount of single game tickets still remain for the Dolphins home opener against the Denver Broncos. Don't miss out. Head to MiamiDolphins.com/tickets to secure your tickets today.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dolphins, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
We talked about Joe entertaining us for 30-plus years, TV, radio, you name it, he's done it all. But we got a guy who's taking it to another level, right? So, 55, there he is. He did his thing at the University of Florida. I had to work it in there, Juice.
Always happens. Every show.
There it is.
Every show.
I mean, it is what it is. It's great to be a Florida Gator. I don't know if you've heard
Good game on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So we did. I didn't hear a lot of applause about that, yeah, Big Steph. It was lukewarm. That was lukewarm right there.
I better be quiet here, considering where my boss works now. So, and he definitely did his thing on radio, continues to do his thing on radio. He just told us he's never quitting that job. But he has taken the podcast world by storm, and we're going to talk about the new job he just got. Please give it up for our favorite guest here in the Fish Tank, making his fourth appearance on the Fish Tank and Drive Time with Travis Wingfield.
A few times on Drive Time, too.
A few times on Drive Time as well. Give it up for Channing Crowder, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the highlights. Go get him, Crowder. Oh, man, there it is.
I made a play or two.
Oh, man.
Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready for the worst part of the show? Y'all have a problem with cussing?
No.
Okay, because I cuss.
That's okay.
Oh, okay, it's fine, ma'am. Thank you so much.
I was watching that. They were showing us fishing in the back of your house. What kind of a fisherman was I?
Y'all ain't worth a fuck. Juice scared of the damn bait. The little minnow. Juice scared of the minnow. Seth over here prefacing everything. Hey, Channing, well, I just want to know. I'm like, God damn, bro.
Is that what I sound like?
Catch a motherfucking fish.
You don't have to agree so quickly.
Hey, well, I just want to let you know, like, I didn't grow up like this. You tell all the goddamn context. Just catch the fish. Grab the pole. Reel the fish in. Everything will be fine.
Channing must pay these fish or something. Like, those fish hang out in the back of his house. They got 16 holes where he's hooked them and thrown them back in.
Released.
And he's like, I bring little kids and people like you, Seth, out here so you can catch a fish.
Yeah, y'all were children at my house. I stocked my lake behind the house. So I live in Davie, and I call it the Davie Bass Relocation Program. So Joe Rose caught me in his backyard one time. And so I'm back there, and I drive. I have a golf cart with a big cooler with aerators in it, and I have a bucket of minnows in the front. Me and my kids ride around and catch all these big-ass bass and put them behind my house. So it's fucking loaded. So then they come back there, and they're like, hey, is there fish back there? You like to fish? That's why Steph talks. That's my Steph voice.
Hey, is there any fish back there?
Man, and these gators,
like,
how you...
And I was like, yeah, we might be able to catch something in the back. Come on back there. So I get some minnows, bring them back there. They are so terrified of a goddamn peacock bass. Juice, you fell on the ground.
Man, because you almost hit me with it, man. I almost got hit with it.
I did stay on my feet. Give me that.
Yeah, Juice. Juice fell down. Says you stayed on your feet. Travis ain't coming over my house.
I think I know better at this point.
Travis, you want to come? My Seth boys and Travis were the same.
No, I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
We'll figure it out on the back end.
So Channing, you know, a few years ago, Jason Jackson hosted, for a charity, a roast. And they roasted Jason Taylor. And so we're out there. And somehow Crowder gets invited to be one of the roast masters. And so I'm all excited. And they have professional comedians, and they open up with Crowder. And I'm like ready. I'm just going to laugh at my boss the whole time. And 10 minutes of the opening act is Crowder just ripping me. I was like, wait, I'm not the guy getting roasted here.
They said I could make fun of anybody I want to. And I
and you lit, chose me.
I lit all y'all asses up. This is what I do. It's really the locker room environment. It's exactly what people love, is that locker room thing where it's like, hey, nobody's off limits.
So what I do want to say, because we do have some questions here for you, but what I do want to say, because you are, it's unbelievable what the way you're moving right now. The pivot is one of, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but unbelievable what you've created with The Pivot. It's one of the top podcasts. Don't listen to me. The charts speak for themselves. Consistently at the top of the charts.
Absolutely.
Consistently. And now the most historic, longest running weekly series that the National Football League has. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Inside the NFL. And Channing Crowder is on Inside the NFL.
Thank y'all. Thank you so much.
But what somehow gets lost in the story, and I think Juice and I like to take a little credit here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We got you started in this whole he podcast knows it. Thing.
He was intrigued, Big Seth.
We got him
That's
started.
A big word like mayonnaise.
His first ever, and actually, Joe Rose too, but his first ever podcast, tell me if I'm lying.
Nope.
The Fish Tank.
It was. And y'all give a lot of love like y'all did. Give love to Seth.
You got to ride your coattails on this thing.
I met Juice and Seth when I got down here in 05. So what's that, 18, going on 19 years ago. Juice embraced me like crazy. Like, Juice loves the fucking Dolphins. Like, y'all don't understand. When you watch the game, this motherfucker got binoculars. I saw his ass in the preseason game with fucking binoculars. I'm like, Juice.
He does love the preseason.
I'm like, Juice, god damn, bro. This dude's not making the team. Why are you watching them so close? But they love it. And Seth had been apart so long, but they really embraced me as a young dude coming down third round and just not really know. Like, I didn't know. I was 21. I lived as a sophomore in college. I just know I couldn't get arrested anymore in Gainesville. So I had to go somewhere. So I came down here and just, like, I tell people all the time, the only organization, only franchise that has an alumni base like the Dolphins is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That people really sit together. Juice is 116 years old.
Damn.
But damn, Juice was around like he was on the team. Juice was there. I talked to Juice 100 times when I was a rookie, and he was right there, and, you know, and he was slide me knowledge, and that's one thing. Like, with all the successes, one thing I do is I listen to people, and I think that's a lost thing now with all these young motherfuckers with these Twitters and bullshit. They don't listen to people. All they want to do is the next thing, and I do listen to people, and I think that's where a lot of my success comes from, but Juice was still instill knowledge on me. Seth was running with JT. And JT was my OG as well. So when I saw the respect that JT had for Seth, then I was like, he's a good dude. Like, for JT, for Jason Taylor to have the admiration he had for Seth, I was like, oh, like, that's a good dude too. And I listened to y'all, and I learned so much from y'all that I still use to this day. And that was the one thing I'll say thank you. I told y'all before on the Fish Tank, I've been on this motherfucker 18 times. But I would say
it's kind of like a co-host at this point.
Yeah, I was like, god damn, y'all might well get 5 chairs out of this bitch. But I would say that y'all really embraced me as a young. They draft between 6 and 12 motherfuckers every year. You don't know who's going to make it. It'd be some sorry bitches. All the people I took their job was sorry. But y'all didn't know if I could play just like Zach didn't know if I could play, just like Jason, just like Junior, just like Kevin Carter, just like Keith Traylor, Sam Madison, who's my man, Mad Dog's a monster. They don't know if you can play, but you saw that love from the Dolphin alumni, and it was very special down here. And I go around the league. We do training camp tours with the Pivot, but the only other team that I see that has the alumni base and the love from the older players like we do with the Dolphins is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're one of the oldest, most respected organizations in the league. And I don't think the Dolphins get the credit that they need for that, because we have something special down here. We really have something special down here.
So, Channing, you know, Seth always wants to take credit for, you know, you being who you are, you know, in the radio game and the business. But he neglects to talk about when you took your butt to the raggedy University of Florida. You know, you were an All-American. You played middle linebacker for the Miami Dolphins for 6 years. Award-winning radio host, as we all know.
Thank you.
That's all Fish Tank related, right?
But my award, my award.
All that.
My award?
Well, Seth thinks it is.
Is that what I said? I don't think that's how I framed it.
I work every day from 2 to 6. Y'all bitches work 1 hour a week.
Maybe. Maybe we do.
That's me, son.
Well, I think it boiled down to you almost being late to that 2 to 6 job when you was at my pool table for hours drinking up all my beer. Yeah. But it worked out good, though, right? So look where we're at now, right?
It was. I'll tell you, the Fish Tank started at Juice's house, and Juice's house was a party house. It was.
You're walking in everything today.
Well, at that point, it wasn't, though, Big
Seth. Why don't you just
at
get
that
to
point,
the
point? It calmed down at that point.
At that point, yeah, Juice, like, it calmed down, but you could see the potential if you were single. See, he had this big ass playroom with a pool table, a motherfucking theater and all. It was painted purple like Prince.
I mean, you just need to ask the question.
I was trying to get there.
I know what you're getting after. No. Y'all did, you did put me on different platforms. The reach that y'all gave me, I would never had without being on the Fish Tank as many times as it was. And I didn't see, y'all saw the vision, because y'all started Fish Tank before the whole podcasting thing. Y'all were already doing the Fish Tank when I was just doing radio. And I didn't understand podcasting until I got with I Am Athlete first, and we left and then did the pivot. But Y'all really had something going before any of us, all us players, knew about it. And that's honest truth. Y'all can go back and look at the timeline or whatever that shit is and see that it was something that y'all saw, y'all's vision, the Dolphins' vision, and that everybody knew it was something where podcasting was funny. I got asked to do a podcast before I started with it, and I was like, who's watching this? Nobody gonna watch this shit. Y'all saw it. Y'all saw the vision. And now I've never done a live show in front of people. That's why I'm cranking up, because now all these motherfuckers laughing.
This is your first live show.
This is my first live show I've ever done.
Well, damn it. I got it. Johnny Williams is here. I need to negotiate something, because every time we start something, now he's going to go do some live show on a national level.
Pack an arena somewhere.
Y'all better have this goddamn check whenever it comes. I don't work for free. Well, I've never quit a job in my life. I've only been fired.
Yeah.
Never quit a job in my life.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Tanny, we're only joking about, you know, being the reason you are as successful as you are, man. You're right, man. It's all about you and what you've been able to do, man. And Seth alluded to it earlier, man, and everybody gave you a round of applause, man. Welcome to your new gig, man, inside the NFL once again, man.
Thank y'all so much.
That's a big deal, man. That's a big-ass deal, man.
It is, man. And it's Ryan Clark. I got very cool with him. And he's taught me, like, just listening, like I was saying. Like, and even y'all, real talk, like, people always think, I'll be 40 in a couple months. And people always think, like, you never know what you can do. You never know what people can tell you. And that's why I just listen to y'all guys. And Travis, we left you out because the Fish Tank was part of it. This motherfucker is Rain Man. He had 1,497 to 4,900 yards, and that shit is crazy what he can do.
That voice sounds so much better when it's on you than it does on me.
It is. But like, even seeing that and seeing, so taking so much from everybody, but it's just listening to people and seeing what you can do and like taking chances. Like, when that Inside NFL thing came up, so Ryan got me involved. So even the pivot takeover of First Take and Get Up last year. And Ryan came to us like, hey, they want us to come on together. I was like, cool, let's go. He was like, do you need any help? Do you need any emails? I was like, bitch, we're talking. Like, ask me a question, I'll give you a fucking answer. And then that stuff blew up. And then even Stephen A. Smith called me and was like, hey, the ratings are usually lower on Fridays than the other days. But he was like, when y'all came on, the ratings were equal with the other days. And he was like, it's working. So that's why. So they have a very analytical thought process at those big networks. So they saw it. And so then this year, a lot of people don't know this, but we're going to have another pivot takeover of, you know, Friday, either Thursday or Friday, or it's going to rotate with that. But it's really just taking chances. Like, it's a Jay-Z song when he said that. It was like, my men are, he didn't say men. He said, yeah, I got you. But he was like, y'all are doing what y'all can. My men are taking chances. And that's what really I just do, is like, any opportunity that comes to me, like, fuck, you're going to fail, but you're going to learn. Like, that's all that's going to happen. Like, if I went on ESPN one time and it was terrible, they never called me back. So then I would be on ESPN zero times instead of that one. I'm going this one to see what y'all think. Then I'm going to come on this second one to see what y'all think. This third one, this fourth one, this fifth one, this sixth one. And now Inside NFL comes up. But that's the whole thing. I would tell y'all, I am a college dropout. I got 30 credits at University of Florida. There are so many more.
30?
And was eligible the whole time.
I took social dance twice.
It's a great class. I had that class.
You took social dance?
In the Florida gym.
In the Florida gym.
I had that class.
I took bowling twice. I took golf. This is what Florida's called, a football vocational school. You go to Florida to go to the league. They were like, hey, what's your major? I said, general population. Like,
you don't want to major in that, major, I promise you.
My major is general population. Because this NFL is going to come calling soon. I'm 6'3", 250. I'm running 4'5". These bitches about to call sooner or later, fellas. But it's the thing now in the second act that a lot of guys struggle to. Not to get too serious, but a lot of guys struggle. A lot of guys I know. A lot of guys my boys, my homeboys, my friends, I talk to all the time. They struggle without football. And that was the one thing that, like, I always talk about that, like, I looked at football, and I never saw football as an end. Like, it was a job. So I would go, the whole, you know, the first person in the building, last person out the building, that type thought, I was that guy. I was in there with Junior Seau at 5 a.m. working out. I was the last dude sitting there with Zach Thomas watching a million fucking hours of film with his little ass. But when I went home, I worked at Walmart. Like, I'm off the clock. I'm about to go to Tootsie's. I'm about to go to Diamonds. I'm about to go to the beach. I'm about to party. I'm about to sit. I used to go in Prime 112 with flip-flops on and shorts and tank top. But I never looked at it as like this end. I looked at it to a means to an end. And that was the thing that now in this new place, it's the same thing. Like, there's never an end to your life of what you can do. Like, I'll tell y'all this, I got a cameraman here tonight because I'm about to do some crazy, stupid shit coming up here this year. My wife's right there, too. I'm about to do some wild shit coming up.
Wait a second. And you're about to do crazy, stupid shit.
So
we've seen up to this point
is nothing.
Don't believe me, just watch. But my whole thing, what I tell a lot of people, and that's why I gave Ryan Clark, we started with Inside the NFL, I always come back around to the topic. It's just like there's no fear in success. There's never fear in success. It's trying it. Y'all motherfuckers don't like me? Fuck you. Like, real talk, like Bernie Mac has something. He was like, if people don't like it for being you, well, fuck them. And that's what I do. And all I do is just be myself every day, every time I have a chance. And people enjoy it. If people don't like it.
Can that be the name of this episode? Do you think that'll fly?
I don't think we can do that, Seth.
No, probably not.
Yeah, speaking of that, and Channing, you mentioned coming on some little rinky-dink podcast back in the day. One of those podcasts actually was my show before I got to the Dolphins, and I can never tell you how much that meant to me, the time to have you come on and talk some football with me. I think you gave me the little Rain Man compliment at that point, too, yeah. You know, spouting off 1497, whatever it might have been. But it was local coverage I was doing with the Dolphins, and I was doing it actually from the Pacific Northwest, so, you know, yep. Covering the local team from the other side of the country.
I heard your wife's voice, your babies. Was your baby's young?
Someone yelling in the background.
Somebody young was yelling in the background. I remember
some
it, bro.
Chaos. Not quite mom's basement, but close enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, on that show, I remember having you on, and my audience has always been one that likes the X's and O's and the bullshit defense that you were talking about, cover three, cover four bullshit. And you talked about Jerome Baker in a way that I don't think most fans knew about just all the responsibility he had in the defense. And I thought, Channing's doing all this shit, and yet he still is grounded in what made him, you know, got him to this point, the game, football, right? And so I'm wondering, first of all, how the heck do you even have time to stay relevant and stay current in the game? But also, are you still as attached to the Dolphins where all the rivalries of the Jets and Bills and Patriots, do you still kind of find yourself saying, like, I don't want to give those teams their due still?
No, 100%. I'm in, and being in Miami, a lot of people, like, when you're, and it's not always on air, and I do 100 radio shows a week. I go on a bunch of radio shows a week, and they always want to ask about the Dolphins. So I do stay in touch with it and talking to some people. Even these two guys, like, y'all three guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, and even hearing y'all stuff, and, like, when I'm in the car, I listen to y'all stuff. I listen to your podcast because I know I'm going to get that fucking 76%. Man. On third down, on passes over 9.5 yards, and all that crazy shit, and so I just retain it, but I am involved with it, and I do love what the Dolphins are doing right now, so I do keep up with it because of the fact that it's home team, and I'm a Buccaneers fan. Y'all boo me if y'all want to. Yeah. I'm a Buccaneers fan. My daddy played for him. I lived in Tampa. Doug Williams, 79, from worst to first. Richard Batman Wood, Dewey Selman, Leroy Selman. Y'all kiss my fucking ass. That's what I remember when I was a baby. So I'm a Bucs fan, but to answer your question, Travis, I really embrace the Dolphin culture. And like I said earlier, I don't think they get enough credit for what they do for the alumni and how they help the alumni and how I know I can call anybody on the Dolphin facility. Nat Moore played with my dad. And I can call Nat Moore and ask him anything to do, any whatever I need. Like, I go up the trail. But if I know, like, hey, I need Beyonce parking pass, because them Beyonce tickets were expensive as shit.
Cheap.
So my wife had me get $12,000 worth of Beyonce tickets. I said, I ain't paying for no fucking parking pass.
I hope he didn't give you, like, an orange pass or
so
something.
So I called Nat. I hit Nat and was like, Nat, and I got the email a couple days later. But that's the thing, and I bullshit a lot of y'all, see, but I do embrace the Dolphins. I love the Dolphins. I know every player. I know every backup. And so when people want to argue me about the Dolphins, it's like Colin Cowherd always wants to go at Tua. And I'm like, man, kiss my ass. Like, Tua is a monster. When Tua played them six games, bro, 300 yards a game? Bro, Tua is a monster. He just has to stay healthy.
What makes him a monster? What makes him special?
His accuracy, his understanding of the game. He really, like, you see him, he checks. It's like that little dumbass camera they put on his helmet and everybody want to talk about it. I looked at that camera and saw that motherfucker look twice both ways in like 3 seconds, and I was like, this shit's impressive. Yeah. But people don't know. They're like, oh, that's goofy. I'm like, no, this shit makes sense. And so, but seeing it from a side of... To get back to your question, Travis, seeing it from a side of playing against Peyton Manning, playing against Tom Brady, playing against Drew Brees, playing against...
Phil Rivers?
The Wood Alden Babies. Phillip Rivers. Rivers was a monster, too. But playing against those guys and seeing their processing, I had to look at the processing of a quarterback. Tua processes at a level that's above his age. He processes defenses at a level that is on the... I don't want to say, whenever you bring up Brady and Rodgers and all those guys, they're like, oh, you're playing under Rodgers. That's Seth's voice. But they're like,
now it's mine again. Great.
But they're like, oh, you're comparing to Rodgers. I'm like, I'm not comparing to Rodgers, but how he sees the field is so special. And he knows it. This the simplest thing in the world. Tyreek Hill is about to get open sooner or later. He's too goddamn fast. And Tua knows that. And whenever he knows it's break and they have the timing down, like you're saying, like Tyreek said he's going to have 2,000 yards. I don't know about it. That's a lot of damn yards. But Tyreek going to have 1,700 plus because him and Tua are on the same page. But Tua's processing, it was just reconfirmed when I saw that helmet video and saw him check right, check left, and go back right and deliver the ball. He had his hand off the ball before he went back. And I was like, oh, that's special vision of the field.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So as I told you, I came from the Pacific Northwest. Didn't make my way into many Dolphins games when I was younger, but one game I went to was in 2008 against the New England Patriots at what is now known as Hard Rock Stadium. And many years after that fact, you had told me a story backstage at one of our draft parties, and you gave me the goods on what provoked you that day to get into a fight with Patriots left tackle Matt Light.
Listen, man, I done fucked off enough today. You think these people want to hear that story?
Channing exited the stadium that day like a rock star. He was shaking the braids. He was doing a fish hook in the mouth type of deal. Walking out the tunnel, fans were just heaping praise on you for that.
Y'all know this story. I'll clean it up a little bit. Okay, there we go. I got it.
I know.
So there's trash talking. And then there's second-level trash talking. Then, there's players and there's Pro Bowl players. I wasn't going to make no Pro Bowl. It was about halfway through 05, my freshman year. And I watched Zach. He was so cerebral. He knew if number 86 was to the field, then there's a 90% chance they're going to run towards him. But if it was another tight end, it's probably going to be bad. Like, he was so cerebral. Junior Seau was just instinctual. Like, he didn't study like Zach. But he would see some shit at last second, and his thing was, CC, I'm gone. When I played with Junior, he'd say, CC, I'm gone. It was a Jets game where he had Wayne Corbett man-to-man in the slot, and he said, CC, I'm gone. And I had the running back, and I kind of looked like, no, Junior, you can't leave the slot to blitz, because now I got to cover Wayne Corbett in the slot and this fucking running back. So he was just instinctual. He'd see something. He'd see the quarterback's back move, and he knew he can get a jump on it. And he actually got a sack on that game. That was early in my career up in New York. Wayne Corbett was there. JT, these are the three Hall of Famers I played with. JT was just a monster. He just had a fucking reach, and he had a get-off that nobody else could deal with. And that's what. So I saw a guy that was just so physically talented, nobody can block him. I saw a guy that was so instinctual, nobody can block him. Then I saw a guy like Zach that was studied so fucking much, he would know everything that was going on before it happened. So I saw those three levels, and about halfway through my rookie year, I was like, yeah, I'll never be good as him. Let me just get my tackles. the thing. So my shit was shit talking. Like, I could get under people's skin, so it was like Ray Rice. But Dan Rizzi was at, where did Ray Rice go to school?
Rutgers? Yeah.
So Dan Rizzi, the defensive coordinator, was at Rutgers. So I would find out who knew the guy early on, and I'd get, like, girlfriends' names, and I'd get different, like, dumb shit just to mess with people. So we're playing in the Ray Rice game. We're playing Baltimore up there. It's actually the game I got spit on. We're playing Baltimore up there, and I turned and I ended up tackling Ray Rice, and I turned around and I don't remember the girl's name, LaQuanda. I was like, LaQuanda said, you know, she said you need to get more, you know, orange juice in the house. She likes orange juice. I got a bunch of orange juice at my house. And I remember Ray Rice turning back, and I saw him get infuriated a little bit, and then he looked at me and he was like, they told me about you. So that was the other side. When my shit didn't work. That's what it kind of came down to. When my research didn't work. What year was that?
2008.
2008.
That year.
When my research worked was that. And I'm not going to tell the story because it's fucked up. But I'd say it. There was information I gathered that I've seen the guys see, and I've seen it work. Like the Ray Rice story was, I was showing y'all the other side of where he looked at me like, no, they told me you were about to do this. And there was other guys where I'd be like, hey, you know, your mama bald head, I know a wig. My mama ain't bald head, motherfucker. But I found information out that hit very close to home for another player on the Patriots. I didn't know it hit so close to home until I found out it hit very close to home, and the dude went crazy. And he changed sides of the field goal block team to come over and fight me, snatched my hammer out. That's why everybody like, why were you running away laughing? Because I was laughing because of the fact that I was like, damn, I really got you with this bullshit I've been doing for 4 years, and I actually got somebody to get kicked out of a game.
It finally worked.
Like, my shit worked at that point. So after that game, that's when both of the teams went in the same tunnel. So we all walked in the same tunnel. We went right, left, visitors to the right, home team to the left, Dolphins went to the left. And then we walked out that exact same tunnel to the player parking lot. I walk out, so now I'm kicked out of the game in the third quarter?
Yeah, yeah.
Like late in the third quarter. So now I'm showered and ready to go when they get off the field. So I'm like, oh, now we can really fight, because now I'm ready to go. So I walk out to the tunnel. I'm standing in the tunnel, Stu Weinstein, a couple other security guys, all the Davie police that they're like, no, Channing, you got to go home. I'm like, no, man, he wants to fight. We can fight. Man, I sat in that tunnel for like 15 minutes. They held the player. him back, and they were like, no, we're going to let him get on the bus. And so then they got me in my truck. I had like old-ass Dodge Ram or some shit. Old car. Got in my old truck, and they made me leave before they let him come out. So I slowed that down. But, yeah, I hit a chord on a player that was way more personal than I ever thought it was going to be.
Did that change the way you would trash talk?
No, hell no. I saw it work then. Oh, man, I saw it work.
Travis,
then.
He's a fisherman. If he finds a good spot.
Oh, I'm going to hit him. I did it my whole career. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It's all a game. Like, I do it to this day. All my buddies know, I'm going to give you hell. I give everybody. I give Juice hell.
Yeah, we've heard it.
We
have all heard it.
I give everybody hell about everything. But it's just fun. It's that locker room environment. It's why when guys always say, like, what do you miss about the game? And they say, I miss the locker room. I'm always like, I don't miss the locker room. I do that shit every day to all my friends.
Oh, man. All right, Ted, we're going to close this thing out here real quick. Before we do, you know, you've had your appearances on the show. But one thing that we've added that you weren't a part of was the two-minute drill. Mm-hmm. So Seth and I, we're used to seeing guy people we talk about, we're going to put them through the two-minute drill, and we see this look of concern on their face. Seth and I now, we're kind of have a look of concern on our face, right? About whether we should actually do this.
Normally they get all uncomfortable. Oh, what are you going to ask me a question?
We've got a look of concern on our face.
I'm like, maybe
right
we
now.
Need to rethink this two-minute drill right now.
Can't stump a killer. Can't stump a killer. Whatever y'all got, I got you.
Right. So let's do it. So we're going to roll the two-minute drill.
Let's go.
All right,
learn it from the best.
Let's go. Here we go.
We got 2 minutes on the clock. It'll come up. Okay, here we go. All right, we talked about the Gators. So the Netflix series Swamp Kings has made a lot of noise recently, and linebacker Brandon Siler,
yeah.
He was kind of like one of the stars, right? He was a big deal on the show. And I think you guys maybe crossed over there a year.
Taught him how to play football.
Okay, well, there it is. Knowing the Gator lineage of that position, the way we know it, who's the real Swamp King?
I would have to say maybe Mike Peterson came before me. I came and wrecked shop for 2 years, all SEC 2 years in a row, since it's All-American, my 2 years, but I had to get the hell out of there because they were locking my ass up consistently. Brandon Spikes came in, and Spikes is big. Y'all ever seen Brandon Spikes? Y'all met him? That motherfucker's gigantic.
He's big
and can run. So I would honestly say with that run of those guys, before that was Andre Davis, played for the Browns. Me and Dre are cool. Mike P is my ace. He still coaches at Florida. I talked to Dre. Me and Dre live out in Denver still. He ended his career with the Broncos. I still talk to B. Spikes. B. Spikes got a spot out here in Sunny Isles, I believe. I talk to all of them. I don't talk to Siler. Siler created his he created his persona off of us. That whole Swamp Kings thing, when I saw that T-Bow and Urban Meyer were
We're going to need a timeout.
When I saw that Urban and T-Bow were part of it, I knew they were building characters. They weren't telling a true story. B-Side, he was a good player at Florida. He went to San Diego, did his, like, he played for a couple years, but it really wasn't that, like, he created his character off of the people he saw around him, and I think I was one of them.
Might have to go to overtime to follow up on
that. Well, it's just like a defensive player. He wants to run and clock, Big Seth.
He does. So, well, we ignore this. We got a timeout in there. So, all right, well, who's got the next question?
We'll burn a timeout. I'll go to the next one. So you started your career with two coaches on pretty much opposite ends of the spectrum. Nick Saban on one side, and then you go to Cam Cameron after that. You had talked about how his speeches did little to inspire. But who was a Dolphins coach or player who did have the ability to really inspire you guys?
No, Nick Saban can coach his ass off. Nick Saban was a monster. Nick Saban, if Dante Culpepper's knee was fine, Nick Saban would have been a playoff-winning coach if he could have found a quarterback. But Nick Saban couldn't deal with the fact that he can't go recruit five stars every year and bring in the talent. He has to work the salary cap. Nick Saban told me all the time, and he was so disrespectful, he'd walk up and be like, hey, he said my name in 2 years. He called me Gator because I was at Florida, and he drafted me. He told me the story that he drafted me because in 2003, when they won the LSU won the national championship, they were 12-1, and the Gators beat them in LSU, and I had like 18 tackles, 2 sacks. I balled out in that game. He told me, like, I drafted you because of that game, Gator, and he called me Gator. But he'd come up to me and be like, hey, they're going to throw a fucking screen on the backside. They don't think you're good. Are you going to be able to tackle the running back? Because they're going to get in trips, and they're going to throw a screen, and you had to make the tackle, and I don't think you made a fucking tackle, but they don't think you made a fucking tackle either. And I'd be like, God damn, coach, I'm a grown-ass man. Like, I'm 22 years old. But the craziest thing about that, we go out on the field the next series, and they get in third down, and they go 2x2, and they motion to 3x1, and I look at the back, and he's sitting there all fucking scary. I'd be like, they about to throw a screen. And I would just walk in the B-gap, run through the B-gap, grab the motherfucker, throw him down, and make the tackle, and be like, ah, run off. He knew football like hell. Saban's going to win football games as long as he does it because he is so goddamn good at football, X and O, understanding, breakdown, film, and that's the difference. It's like Brady. I don't like Tom Brady. I respect the hell out of him. I don't like Nick Saban. If my son, who's playing 11U football for the first time this year, if he has a chance to go to Alabama and Nick Saban's still there, I know that my son will go and get the best coaching in the nation at Alabama if Nick Saban's still at Alabama. Respect is bigger than like. If people respect you, take the respect. Fuck that like. Like don't do nothing for you. Respect really means something, and I respect Nick Saban.
Well, that is the two-minute drill in about 18 and a half minutes. Jannon Crowder set an all-time two-minute drill record. But keep the applause going. He is Jannon Crowder. You can catch him on The Hawk and Crowder Show. You can catch him on The Pivot. And you can now catch him on Inside the NFL. I don't know if you'll catch this podcast, though.
I like the bullshit, man. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I hope everybody enjoyed it, man. Thank y'all.
Who needs a break after that one?
I don't know how you follow that, so I mean.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Just like Drew said, thanks for diving into the fish tank presented by iHeartRadio. Be sure to follow us on whatever streaming platform you're using, and don't be afraid to rate the show or leave us a comment. We love your feedback. And remember, you can find us as well as Drive Time with Travis Wingfield and all of our international partners on MiamiDolphins.com.